Father, we thank you for your word. It is alive and powerful. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes that we may see exactly what we need to see. God, open our ears to hear from you. Holy Spirit, that you move in a powerful way, that our ears would be open, that we would hear directly from you this morning, that you would have a word for us directly as an individual. God, you'd speak to us. Father, we ask that our hearts would be hungry, hungry for truth, hungry for your word this morning, coming in this place needing a specific word from you. And God, I'm asking you for grace, and I'm asking you for the power to be able to present your word in a way that it is delivered, that we walk out of this place different from when we've come in this place. We have a high expectation, God, that your word can change our lives, that one message from you can rearrange us. Father, we thank you for that. And folks, I do ask that you would ask God. Father, speak to me this morning. Direct this word to my heart today. Father, speak to me. I'm here and I'm hungry. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, if you would turn to Esther for me, please. Esther 4, that will be the only place you need to turn. We usually go to two places, but we're going to stick just to Esther 4 this morning. We are in a warrior series. This is the Fearless Warrior. Gang, we are going to be on the Fearless Warrior for 2 weeks, this week and next week. Saturday night, 6 o'clock, Sunday morning, 9 and 11. You can check out, we are almost nearing the end of this Warrior series. We got the Fearless Warrior this week, next week, and then we are going to close out the Warrior series with the Warrior King, who is our Savior, King, Master, Lord, Christ, Jesus, Son of God, who is the Warrior and the King. And we're going to go deep into that, and that's going to be powerful. But today, next week, the Fearless Warrior. And I want you to please understand something. Okay, the greatest commandment that we have as believers, that Jesus has said himself, going from Old Testament to New Testament, the very, very greatest commandment that Christ has led us is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's powerful. To love others as yourself. To love your neighbor as yourself. That is the greatest top two commandments that you and I are to follow, is to love him with everything we've got. I'm in. I'm sold on it. You're everything. I give you all I got. I'm in. That's his greatest commandment. But that is not his most frequent commandment. You would imagine that the greatest commandment would be the most frequent commandment. But it's not. The most frequent commandment that you and I have as followers of Christ, from the Old Testament all through the New Testament, from God himself, through prophets, through angels, through the very voice of Christ Jesus, the most repetitious command that we have is do not be afraid. Isn't that amazing? Greatest command is to love him. But the one that he repeats through the Old Testament and New Testament in the most is don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. Folks, we have to dive into this thing for 2 weeks and try, and we could be on this thing probably for a month or more on just this, because it is repeated over and over and over and over and over about don't be afraid, mm-hmm. Do not fear. And we get into this thing and it's just incredible. But I want to read a verse to you. This is our theme verse for just the Fearless Warrior. And it says this, it's 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Isn't it amazing that a spirit of fear never came from God? Isn't it amazing the most repetitive the command that he gives us is don't be afraid, because fear never came from him. Listen, and we're going to dive into this deeper next week, this verse. Listen, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and disciplines. Power, love, and good judgment. We're going to dig into this thing next week. But I want you to know, a spirit of fear never comes from God. As a matter of fact, he very clearly is telling Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Timothy, there are things ahead for you. In leadership, in pastoring, evangelism, there's things you're going to take. And you got to know right from day one, don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid, Timothy. Tackle this thing. Go after this thing. If fear is in you, it didn't come from God. Because he didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you power, love, and sound mind, discipline. That's what come from God, and it's not fear. It's amazing, folks, to me, that the most repetitious command that he's given us, don't be afraid. Because fear paralyzes you. And fear will stop you in your tracks. And you could be doing something amazing, advancing the kingdom of God. Fear shows up. And it's amazing. Come on, Esther 4. Today we're going to talk about the Fearless Warrior. We're going to talk about one warrior who is a warrior princess, actually a warrior queen named Esther or Hadassah. We're going to talk about her in in her fearlessness to go before her husband and to go before her king and make a pretty bold statement. I got to tell you right off the bat, as I have studied this book for years and years, there's parts of this book that I just don't get. And if you have studied Scripture for years and years, there are parts of Scripture that you will never get. In our little tiny minds, there's just things that we just don't understand in God's great, incredible plan, how things so work together. And I look at Esther, and Esther has been one of them books for me as I try to have tackled this thing for years. And I've got this little note down that I wrote down in studying this. Lord, help me make it clear that it's not clear. So I hope you understand that this morning, I've never made a statement like, Lord, help me to preach a message that's not clear. That doesn't make any sense, folks. But I'm trying to make clear to you that there are parts of Esther that I don't get. And there's parts of Esther that scholars refuse to preach from some books of Esther because it's just, you don't get it. Well, let's look at this. Esther verse 4, please. We'll start with the famous verse. If anybody knows anything about Esther, they know this verse, and it's verse 14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. Now this is what everybody knows from Esther. And who knows whether you have attained royalty for such a time as this. Listen, there are books written about this statement. There are songs sung about this statement. There are movies made about this statement. And if anybody knows anything about anything about anything about Esther, it is for such a time as this. People have preached on that, t-shirts made on that, over and over and over, for such a time as this. And that is the main focus of what most people know about Esther. And it's powerful. And that is the pinnacle of this thing, man. This is the top of the pyramid of this story is right here, exactly in this verse. But folks, we can't start in chapter 4. Let's go back to the beginning here. Let me just kind of go over this Esther story real quick. So please, just listen to this. You've got the king and you've got the queen. Chapter 1 says the king throws a bash for a six-month party, folks. 180 days. That he called all the royalty, he called the upper-ups, he called the bigwigs, and he throws a party for them. And then one last week, he ups it up a little bit, brings out the gold, and he had the marble, he had the purple linen, he had the gold goblets. I mean, he threw a high-class, I mean, South Florida bash, man. This is the way it was. This is a Miami bash, folks, right? I mean, this is the deal. And he had all the upper-ups, and it was 180 days, and then you add 7 days on that, 187 days, that's about 6 months. A party and drinking wine, the best of the best. And then he calls on his queen, Queen Vashti at the time, and he says, in his drunken stupor, he says, I want you to come in and unveil yourself and parade yourself around all these drunk dudes. That's not a good idea. The queen realized that that was a really bad idea, and she says, nope, not doing that. Says no to the king. Oh, the upper-ups get miffed, man. They just freak out. And they say, oh, how could, man, if she could do this to the king, all of our wives are going to have an uproar, and look at what's going to take place. And they just began to throw dirt at the queen and just denounce her and say, king, you better do something about, look at how she's treating you, king. All of our wives are now going to have her. This is going to get out of the palace. Everybody's going to know. She said no to you. How dare her? And they went into this thing and they convinced the king to denounce the queen, divorce the queen, get rid of the queen. And then they came up with this brilliant plan. You know what? Let's go. And the king was over 127 provinces. Folks, it's stated there might be millions upon millions of people that the king was in control of. And then these upper-ups had the brilliant idea, for whatever reason, say, let's go to all these provinces, and king, let's pick out all of the young, beautiful women who are virgins. These are teenagers. Let's pick out for you, king, all these teenagers who are virgins, and we're going to come in and we're going to prepare them. And king, you get to have your choice. Folks, this could have been hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of young, teenage, beautiful, good-looking virgins that the king would be able to pick his next queen. Well, there were some slaves, the Jewish descent. They took them from Babylon years ago, so there was a large group of Jews there in this all of these provinces. And one of these Jews was a young lady named Hadassah, where her mother and father had passed away, so she was an orphan, raised up by Mordecai, who was her uncle, got word of this. They were now drug into this thing, a part of this thing. And now Mordecai, who's her uncle, now Hadassah, who is now Esther, is now in this, quote, competition with all the other young, beautiful virgins who are teenagers. And the king had to make his choice. And folks, this is kind of where it gets weird. That's kind of weird, right? I want you to see this, please. So they all are there. They've corralled all these women. Could have been hundreds upon hundreds. And chapter 2, verse 12 says this. Now when the turn of each, highlight that, the turn of each, that means they were taking turns, folks. When the turn of each young lady came to go into the king after the end of her 12 months. So they gathered all these young ladies. And the Bible says that they were beautiful young ladies. And after the end of her 12 months, so she was taken and all these groups of women were taken. And 1 year later, 12 months, under the regulations for the women, for the days of their beautification were completed as follows. 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with spices and cosmetics for women. It was prophesied in Esther that it would take women a long time to get ready. A year, folks. It took them, they were already beautiful. I don't know how much spice and myrrh you can put on your body in a year, okay? I mean, this is like, it took a long time to curl those the unbelievable, but it's a year of preparation. My wife is beautiful, and she doesn't need makeup. She doesn't even need to do it. And I would 6 months of putting perfume on. What are you doing? I mean, I could imagine. Anyways, it was prophesied years ago about the length of a woman's preparation. But anyhow, verse 13. The young lady would go into the king in this way. Anything that she desired was given to her, taken with her from the harem to the king's palace. Now look at verse 14. This is where it just gets nuts. Okay, you can see that it's like an assembly line. And they're taking their turns. Hundreds and hundreds of women. This is not generally preached, but you got hundreds and hundreds of women who are in line. Now look at this. Verse 14. In the evening, she would go in. Remember, these are young teenage virgins. In the evening, as she goes in, she's a virgin. Please hear this. In the evening, she would go in, and in the morning, she would return to the second house, or the second harem. Look what it says. This is huge. To the custody of Shezagas, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the concubines. She went in a virgin. She came out a concubine. She slept with the king, folks. That's what that means. See, here the king has got this assembly line of all these young, beautiful virgins. And night after night, he gets to pick the best one, I guess. And what's so unclear to me is Esther's in line. And the Bible says that Esther goes into the king. It is presumed through scholars and through commentaries and through the common knowledge after hundreds of women have already gone to the king, go in virgin, come out concubine. And concubine is one who is not the wife of the male, but has duties in the home, and some of those were sex. So she came out a concubine. And here Esther is in line to go sleep with the king. And I would say from the study and from the presumption of Scripture that Esther slept with the king. And he liked what he saw and made her queen. Okay, if you know anything about truth of Scripture, that's not a good idea. That's sin. That's wrong. To sleep with someone who's not your husband, especially in a specific beauty contest. Well, he likes her, picks her as queen. And this is stuff where it's not really clear what took place in that bedroom. It's just not. It doesn't say. And you look at one of the main biblical points of Esther, which God has not even ever mentioned in this book, not once, But you see how God's designed incredible plan for a plan that has come against His chosen people, Israel, where He used this young woman through all of her life, which is how do you figure that out? Still being called and used by God to free His chosen people. Where you see God once again in Scripture using an imperfect woman or an imperfect man or an imperfect person to get His work accomplished. That's incredible. That's God's grace. It's amazing, folks, to see where this young woman slept with the king, chosen to be queen, and God still uses her and her imperfection to save a whole nation of Israel. That's amazing. That's God's incredible grace. There's not one who has ever breathed who is perfect, for all have sinned and fall short. So isn't it incredible to you and me that God chooses to use us as imperfect people to get His plan accomplished and His purpose accomplished for you and I will be called for His purpose. That's incredible, folks. The day you walk perfect is the day you go home in His presence. Because every single one of us fail. And when we understand that, God can still use us as imperfect to get His plan accomplished. But you're going to see Esther here as a warrior. You're going to see Esther here as fearless in what she's called to do. You've got a piece of garbage named Haman, who was second in command. He was wicked. He was evil. He was authoritative. The power went to his head. He was arrogant. He was prideful. Thought he was all that. And then Mordecai, who was Esther's uncle, you see all these pieces come together. He refused. The law was that second in command, Haman, everybody had to bow down and worship this guy. Well, Jewish tradition says we don't bow down to any except our Lord, and we have a fear of God. I'm not bowing down to you. Mordecai refused to bow down to Haman. Haman hated this, man. He was so authoritative. He was so angry. He was so prideful. He was so arrogant. And he hated the fact that this guy wouldn't bow down to me. So he comes up with this plan before the king. Mordecai's Jewish. He's a part of that nation of Israel. We need to wipe out everyone. Remember, king, where they're all our slaves and they've come in. We need to wipe them all out because they are disrupting this whole thing that you've got going in your kingdom, and they refuse to bow down, and they're coming against you. And he just came up with all of this craziness against the whole Jewish nation because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to this clown, not knowing that the queen was of the Jewish descent. So here, the law is signed. There's a specific day that the armies are going to go out and wipe out, supposedly, the enemies of the king, who is the children of Israel, God's chosen people. Well, Mordecai gets word of it, and he goes to Esther. He says, Esther, this is the deal. We've been coming against by Haman. And Haman convinced the king to wipe us off the map, to kill, destroy, and annihilate. Folks, that is women, children, husbands, wives. I mean, he wanted everything that breathed Jewish dead. Killed, destroyed, annihilated. This was the plan. And Esther's like, yeah, but I can't go into the king right now. This is not my season to go into the king. There's a 38-day period that it is against the law for me or anyone else to go into the king. Because if you go into the king and he doesn't want you there, and he doesn't grant you the golden scepter, he doesn't put it out to you, right there instantly, they'll take your head. She's like, I can't go into the king. You know the law. You know this is not the period. Anyone who goes into the king, their head could roll. And then Mordecai, he gets bold and he says, listen, this is the deal. This is what he says. This is where it comes to the top of this thing. Do not imagine, verse chapter 4, verse 13. Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. Listen, Esther, you're of the Jewish descent. This is law. It is required that your head roll on this specific day of this specific year at this specific time. Don't think for a moment that you're excused from this. This is what he's telling the queen. This is huge, folks. This is huge. Talk about a fearless warrior. You talk about Esther, who becomes, something rises up within her, and she becomes fearless. Now look at this. Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, Esther, if you don't do this, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you, and your father's house will perish. Don't think you can escape this. And then he says this, and who knows whether you have attained royalty for such a time as this. And then the fearless warrior comes out in Esther, verse 16. Go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And my maidens will do also fast in the same way. And thus I will go into the king. Mordecai, I get it. I understand that I am the last defense. I get it. I understand. Just maybe, just possibly, that this is the reason that I became queen. Just maybe this is for such a time as this. Maybe somehow, some way, God worked this whole thing through, that I am in this position for a specific purpose, to save the very children of God, the chosen people of God. And then she makes a very warrior statement. She says, I will go into the king, even though it's not according to the law. And she says, if I perish, I perish. I get it. It's worth the effort. Because just maybe, I'm in this position for this perfect timing. And I'm going into the king. And if he doesn't accept me and doesn't grant me the golden scepter, if I die, I die. Folks, Esther knew her purpose. Through the words of Mordecai, through words of getting through. They had, if you read Esther, they had this thing going back and forth. Send in servants. Yeah, but if you don't do this, yeah, but you don't understand. Yeah, but if you don't do this, yeah, but you don't understand. And they went back and forth until it sunk in. And Esther got it. This is my purpose. And she had to be fearless in her purpose, folks. Could you imagine what it would be like to go into the king and have to explain to your husband that the one that you picked for second in command wants to take me out, wants to take out all of your servants, which would damage your kingdom, which would destroy your tax base, which would hurt servants, which would hurt revenue. There was a lot to this, folks. Haman was that evil. He wasn't thinking the kingdom. He wasn't thinking of the king. The Jews did contribute. The Jews did hold high position in the kingdom. The Jews did pay taxes, even as slaves. And look, please understand this. Esther went in and said, King, he's caused you serious damage. And you have a lot to lose. And he said, who is this that's come against me? And again, that fearless warrior shows up and says, it's your right-hand man. It's the one that you appointed to be in charge of all the provinces. Could you imagine, folks, that she was so firm on her purpose, and she knew her purpose in such a way that she had to be fearless in what she was called to do. Folks, that's serious. Because we are all called for a purpose. You got to understand that. If you're a child of God, you're called. If you're a child of God, you have to understand that God has a purpose for you. Your very first purpose is to be a follower of Christ. It's to be not ashamed. And we get into next week, the fearless warrior next week. We're going to talk about, if you want to read 1 Timothy and you go through that whole thing about you know, God has not given you a spirit of fear. He tells you, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Well, one thing for you and I are not to be ashamed of. Part of our purpose is to follow Christ and not be ashamed that of Jesus, not to be ashamed of the Word of God. And we recognize that that is our very first purpose in life, is to follow Christ and to serve Him. Your second purpose in life, if you are married, is your husband and your wife. And then your third purpose in your life are your children. And then your fourth purpose in your life is your finances, your work, is me being a pastor. That's my, love you, but you are fourth on my list, folks. And that's a good thing, and you should say amen to that. Amen. Because if my home's a wreck, I'm a wreck. Mm-hmm. You don't want a pastor that's a wreck. You ever see that commercial? I only just thought of that. You know, if you don't get DirecTV, you do this, and then that turns into that. And then, right? If my life is a wreck, then your pastor's a wreck. And if your pastor's a wreck, then the church is a wreck. Never mind. Anyways. yeah, I know. Just love it. But folks, seriously, you got to come to a place of knowing what God has called you to and your purpose. Now just bow your heads, please. I know that God can directly speak into your heart through the Word of God, through His Spirit, and He may impress you, or has already impressed you, that you know that God has called you for a specific purpose. You know that God has called you even to do things financially. You know that God has called you to rise up at work. You know that God has called you to stand for something that is right, even though everyone says it's wrong. You know that God has put a specific purpose before you. And are you going to be fearless in your purpose? Are you going to have the same fearless warrior mentality? If I perish, I perish. If I lose friends, I lose friends. If I lose this, I lose. But in my fearlessness, as me being a warrior before, as me being called to be a soldier for Christ, not entangling myself in the affairs of everyday life, but to please the one who enlisted me as a soldier, in that warrior mindset, I will be fearless in the thing that God has put before me. I will be fearless in such a time as this. Husbands, if you're a husband in this place, you need to be the warrior of your home, and you need to be fearless in your purpose of providing and protecting your family, your wife, and your children. How dare you let anything come into your home that is against God? How dare you let anything come into your home that will begin to destroy or deteriorate your wife or your kids? Listen, the enemy is knocking, and he would love to rip your house apart. He hates family. He hates marriage. He hates wives. He hates husband. He hates kids. And we see what's taking place through Mary Jo on these streets of Mexico. It is amazing that Satan is just running these kids through rape and through suicide and through depression. We're talking 5 and 10 years old. They're very real, folks. He wants to do the same thing to your home. And the men need to seriously rise up to have this fearless mentality and this fearless warrior mentality of being the head of the home and being the one that will protect and provide and encourage and build and speak life to, and the one will never allow the children to go into a place that is going to cause them damage or harm, because you are fearless, folks. You are fearless. And wives have to become fearless in their responsibility of keeping home and keeping husband and keeping children, and fearless in a way to say yes to Christ and say no to the world. Ladies, you got to wise up and be fearless to know your purpose. God has not called husband, wife, teenager, child to be confused, but to know our purpose and what He's called us to. And when we know our purpose, we charge. And we would be fearless in what God's called your purpose to. Father, I thank You. I thank You that You've not given us a spirit of fear. If we walk in fear, it's not from You. There's really only two forces at that. God, if we walk in fear, it's not because of You. You never gave us that spirit. That's not a spirit that You have given into our hearts, God. Father, I pray that we would understand our purpose as a church, as a body of believers who gather, a body of believers of the local church, God, that our purpose would be to advance Your kingdom. Our purpose is to see Your name exalted above all names. Our purpose is that Jesus would be known house to house. Our purpose is that husbands and wives would represent Christ in the church. Our purpose is for teenagers to rise up and break away from the things of this world. Our purpose is to advance Your kingdom, light over darkness. God, that we as a church would be fearless in our purpose as a church. Fearless in our advancing Your kingdom, advancing light over darkness. God, we would be fearless in our love for the broken, fearless in our love for the depressed, fearless, God, in our action, in our words, to lift up those who are hopeless and broken and down and out, God, those who are poor and those who have not. God, we would be fearless and chase them down and go after them in the name of Jesus. God, that would be our purpose as a church, as a local body who comes together to raise up and worship You, God. God, as young people, those who not yet married, but living in an age in the 20s or 30s, God, that they are single, and God, that they would be fearless in the pursuit for You. God, they'd be fearless in the pursuit for You, not worrying about the things of this world, not worrying about this or that, but fearless in what You have called them to do in that age, God, that they would be fearless in what You've called them to do in their purpose in being a young adult who is single. God, that when we know our purpose, we would have such a mentality that if it costs me everything, it's worth it. If it costs me everything to pursue the purpose that God has in me, and I go after it fearlessly, that it's worth it. Father, thank You. Folks, please stand to your feet and look at me, please. Listen, I love you. And we pray and we prepare and we fast. And I beg God to do a work in your hearts. Week after week, I beg God to do a work in your hearts. And this warrior series has been powerful. And attacks will come because we are preaching some serious work here. But man, if you were to take the word of God and put it in your heart, and you would allow faith to rise up, fear will disappear, folks. Please hear this. And we're going to hit this next week. Please be here next week. Bring somebody next week. We're going to talk about fear. We're going to talk about faith. The very most ingredient that we need to be fearless is to just trust God. When fear comes in, faith goes out. That's just that we see it. And I want you as a church, as a body of Christ, as husbands and wives, as young people, looking for God's purpose, looking for what God has called you, looking for a husband or a wife, for teenagers in this place to rise up and be fearless and work from that place of faith and not that place of fear. Please hear this. Please don't miss this. I'm asking you, Brent's going to sing a song. I know that we are 10 minutes past. And I thank you for that time. I asked for it, and you're always so gracious to nod your head and give me that 10 minutes. I appreciate that. But man, as Brennan sings this, I want you to hear this song, powerful song. And you know that God will never leave you, and God will never forsake you, ever. That's His promise. He is for you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And this morning, I'm asking you, if you were struggling with something that God, you know God's put something on your heart. You know God's direction for your life. You know God has told you or called you to do something. I'm asking this morning that you and Him, man, you give it to Him. You give it to Him. And you become fearless in your purpose. Come on.